Happy Sabbath, church. Happy Sabbath. It is a privilege and honor to be here with you this morning. And if you allow me, I just need to do a little bit of housekeeping. Hello, Mommy and Daddy, Decanty and Kyle. I ended up wearing the jacket that you told me to. It worked out. Thank you. I really appreciate that for allowing me to have that short message. I hope they watched that, because if not, it's all for naught. It's such, again, a privilege and honor to be here with you today. My name is Japhia Reeves, and I am from the beautiful country of Houston, Texas. They tried to recruit you here, but get out as soon as you can. The weather is crazy. But I love being here. It's my third year in the seminary. I finish in August, and sadly, I will then leave the snow and replace it with heat. All the tears I will shed. But again, it's so great to be here with you today. Let us have a word of prayer. Holy Spirit, speak. Amen. When I was reflecting on this message, I realized that it has been 10 years since I was a student missionary. And in college terms, that basically means I'm unk. Yeah, so I'm one of those now. And it's amazing to think that over a decade ago, I was out there serving as a missionary. And my journey started my sophomore year at Union College, now Union Adventist University. And I was there, and I remember coming into college, I came with a background that was conducive to missions. So my parents are from Liberia, West Africa, so I've heard stories of another country and the amazing things that happen over there. My home church growing up in Houston, we did a lot of mission trips. We were out and about, and so that was an amazing experience. So when I heard about student missions and opportunity to spend a year in another country, it wasn't a matter of if, it was when, because I was super excited to be able to go. But I had my own idea. You see, when I was a sophomore, I was working in the campus ministries department, what we call here the Center for Faith Engagement, and I had a great job. I enjoyed it. I loved it. And I wanted to continue another year. And so I remember talking to the chaplain about my interest, Pastor Rich. I was telling him about how I wanted to be a student missionary, but maybe I'll do it the next year, or I'll fit it in this year because I want to stay in the position. I want to keep doing X, Y, and Z. And Pastor Rich told me something that would start my journey of learning. And he said, don't try to fit God's plans into your plans. That's tough. Yeah, he hit me right there. And so I was like, okay, so the Lord's calling me to be a student missionary next year. But there were two things I said I would never do. The first thing I said is I would never be a teacher. Because I was studying theology. I'm studying to be a theologian. So whatever I do, it needs to be about preaching. It needs to be about being in a church. It needs to be about helping people in that way, teaching the Bible. That's where my strengths were. That's where I would truly be useful. So no teaching. Amen to teachers, but that's not your boy. The second thing that I said I would never do is I would never go to an island. Not about to do that. Amen for the ministry of the islands, but I was trying to have a real missions experience. I was going to be in a jungle somewhere. I was going to get lost. I was going to have manna fall from heaven. I was going to be translated into 50 lessons or 50 different languages, and then they would find me in the Lake Union magazine, right? I would write my story. And so, yeah, I'd get published too. But that's what my idea was. So I would never do those two things. Never be a teacher. Never go to an island. And so as the application process was happening, I was trying to go to a Spanish-speaking country because I wanted to learn Spanish. Sure enough, the opportunities were not there. Then I applied to go to Africa. No opportunities there. And then there was a girl I liked, and I tried to apply where she was going, and God definitely said, yeah, right to that one. And so the last option that I had left was a third grade teacher on the island of Chuuk. Mercy, yeah. And so there I was. And with all the application process, it usually had taken time for them to get back to me. Like usually it was 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then they would give me the no. But for Chuuk, when I applied, Within a week, they said, hey, you are accepted to come to CHOOP. I said, my goodness, I guess this really was God leading. And so, sure enough, I fundraised the money. God was good, got me enough money. And I went to Hawaii to do the training, because that's what we do. We used to do the training for the islands. And so, while I was in Hawaii, I was meeting the other missionaries that were going to CHOOP. And they were telling me things that was exciting me. Because they were telling me how rough CHOOP was and how hard of an island it was. And I was like, okay, we can still salvage a mission year out of this. I think we can do this. And then while we were talking, while we were there, there was this principal. And he was standing by himself. He looked a little sad. And I was like, let me go and talk to this brother. And so when I went to talk to him, I got to know him and he said, hi, I'm going to be the principal for the island of Koh Samui. I'm the new principal and we have no student missionaries. And I said, yo, that's tough for you, but I will be praying for you fervently, for sure. But then as that week progressed, as our time on Hawaii progressed, there was somebody that was speaking, and they spoke about a change of islands and how God took them from a big island to a small island. And I was like, man, here God goes again. And I ended up changing from CHOOP to Koh Samui, not just teaching third grade, third through fifth grade. Yeah, and so this was the beginning of my journey of the power of weakness. I was going to be in not my element. I was not playing to my strengths, so to say. I was here teaching third through fifth grade on this island, my weakness. I said, man, this is going to be tough. Maybe somehow God can work and salvage something out of this year. And so this is when we first got to Koh Samui, and I was standing there in front of the school, in front of what would soon be my classroom, my learning chamber for sure. And so we got there and set up the classroom, got excited for the first day of school. And I had 16 students, not all of them in this picture, but this was after the first day of school, and we're smiling now, but we didn't stay smiling every day. These 16 kids changed my life and changed how I understood weakness, how I understood strength, how I understood love. And so as I was there in the classroom, I said, you know what, even though I'm in an element that is not my own, I'm going to do some things that I'm strong at, right? And so teaching Bible, I'm a theologian, I'm studying theology, so Bible's probably going to be my best subject. And also, I think just a little bit that I'm kind of funny, so I can kind of connect with these kids a little bit. And I'd worked at summer camp and stuff like that. But what was interesting was my Bible class was probably the hardest class I taught. And my jokes did not land with any of these kids. I think they had no funny bone in their body, because the jokes I was telling would make me millions today. For sure. But these homies were not laughing at nothing. They were not going for anything that I was given. And I would try to connect. I would try to make the jokes. I would try to teach Bible in these different ways. Nothing. It was a little challenging and hard. And we have this picture of two of my students. The one on the right, her name is Pertha. And the one on the left, her name is Coco. And Pertha on the right, one day I was sitting in class after school grading some papers. And she came into the classroom and she looked at me and she said, Mr. Reeves, you're the worst teacher I've ever had. I said, oh, snap. And then she laughed and she said, I'm just kidding. But the damage had been done. The damage had been done. My heart was hurt. And so I was just like, man, these kids. Then Coco on the left, one day we were taking a spelling test. And while we were taking the spelling test, I was watching the kids, making sure nobody cheats, all that good stuff. And she finished her test, and she was just staring at me. And she was just staring at me like, and I was just like looking at her like, hello, what's up? And she just stared at me. And I said, man, what's wrong with this kid? And so I definitely had a tough time relating to my students. Then over here we have Michigo. Michigo was the ringleader for the class. She was the mover and shaker. Whenever there was a time to ask a student what they wanted to do for recess or where they wanted to eat for lunch, any student would look at Michigo first. They would confirm the answer, and then they would give it to me. And so Michigo was the mover and shaker in this class. And sure enough, she was somebody that missed her last teacher, the last student missionary that had been there, and she would always remind me of that. And I remember an experience that we had. So Michiko went to the local Adventist church on the campus of our school, and she lived super close by. And so on Sundays, what we would do is we would do some like school projects. So on this day, we were doing an addition to the church. And while we were doing that, we had a break, and the principal and his kids, they brought out these bikes, and they were riding bikes. And I saw Michiko and her cousin, Mary, looking at these students, looking at the principal's kids riding the bikes. And I was like, I think they don't know how to ride a bike. And I know how to ride a bike. This can be a connecting point. And so I went up to them and I said, hey, Michiko, Mary, do you guys know how to ride a bike? They said, no. And I was like, would you guys like to learn how to ride a bike? And they looked at me and they said, nah, we good. Okay, okay. And then later that day, we had a lunch for break for everybody. And when we were going to eat lunch, I was practicing my Koshrayan, and somebody was coming around. And when people are coming around, you invite them to eat. And so you say this phrase, Faro Mongo. And so I said, somebody coming, I said, Faro Mongo. Everybody got silent. And then they started laughing. These homies were like, ha, Faro Mongo, Faro Mongo. And they were just making fun of the way I was saying it. And I just said, oh, okay, if that's how it's going to be, that's how it's gonna be. And so I ate my lunch and I went back up to my room and I said, I'm just gonna grade papers all day. Later that day, I heard the sound of laughter and joy, and I was surprised because I said, there's no way it could be coming from here. And sure enough, when I went outside, Michiko and Mary were learning how to ride a bike from somebody else. Yeah. That one hit. And so I started to now get in this mindset of, okay, because my strengths are not working, because I'm not being able to connect with these kids, you know what? I'm going to keep my distance. I'm going to do what I need to do, and that's it. So when we would be going through the day, when it was recess time, I'd be inside grading papers. At the end of school, I would say bye to my students, and then I would go up into my apartment and cook or read or do some schoolwork. And when it was church time, I would go to church, interact, do what I needed to do, but I had my distance because I said, man, they're not showing me that love. I'm not being greeted with the fanfare. I'm not being accepted like I would want. I am not being heralded as the great missionary. And so that's what I decided to do. I kept my distance between me and them. And so Christmas break came, and when Christmas break came, I got to go to another island called Pohnpei. I went to Pohnpei for Christmas, and when I got there, I interacted with the other student missionaries, and I found out, oh my goodness, they're having challenges with their students too. And then I remember I started reading some verses, and some verses that were really big in changing my perspective. And one of the ones is one that we have read today, Philippians 2, verse 5 through 11. And it says this, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so I read verses like these, and I began to think about my experience. And I started thinking, man, if I'm going to serve like Jesus, I've been doing it wrong. Because Jesus, in this verse we see, he did not consider his position his power. His position was not his power, it was his presence that was his power. Because the verse told us that he was very God. And he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, something to be held on to, something to cling to. He said, I will let it go. And not just let it go, I will be like them. I will be present with them. And Jesus made himself weak. He put himself as a baby who had to be taken care of and changed and fed. Jesus made it so that he had to eat to survive, sleep to be healthy. He was found weak. And in that weakness was strength. In his presence was strength. Paul will even say, while we were still yet sinners, Christ came and died for us. Jesus did not wait for us to bridge the gap. He did not wait for us to show improvement. He did not wait for us to herald him and say, yo, we need you. He said, while they were still sinners, he came and died for us. Paul will even say, while we were still weak, Christ came and died for the ungodly. And so these verses kind of started having an impact on me, and I said, man, even if I don't see a difference, I need to be present. Because my strength is not in my Bible teaching. My strength is not in my ability to preach. My strength is not there. I need to take on weakness and be vulnerable and present. Because being present can be weak. And so we said, let's try something new. So when I get back to Koshrai after Christmas break, I started to do some different things. So one of the things I did was in class, I would tell some more stories about myself. And I remember one time I told this story about how I was trying to ice skate and I was horrible at it. And so when I was grading a spelling test, I don't know if you can read it, but on the top it says, Mr. Reeves, what kind of teacher doesn't know how to ice skate? And I put in all caps, I know how to ice skate. I would get these little notes and on spelling tests and things like that. There was this other time where we were talking about volcanic rock in science. And, instead of just talking about it on the book, I said, you know what, guys? We live on an island. There's rocks all over the place. And so we walked down the beach and we picked up rocks and we started skipping rocks. And guess what? I don't know how to skip rock. I'm horrible at it. And I put myself in a position of weakness for my students to teach me how to skip rocks. I sunk a few, but I got better. I would say I'm a pro today. Catch me outside with the rocks. These students taught me how to skip rocks. I was there with them. We learned, we laughed. I remember we were setting up for a program, and usually I would set up and leave, and I said, you know what, let me open myself up, be a little silly. And so we were decorating, and this happened. And I had some beads on my head. And just the time, we laughed at each other. And that recess that I never used to go to, I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to go outside with recess. I'm not going to grade papers. I'm going to go be present with my student. And maybe that means I mess up in a game. Maybe that means I get laughed at for how silly I look. But I'm going to be with them. And so this is a little video of me playing recess. Yo, that jump scare got you, huh? Good thing I saw it in first service. No, but this was the kind of stuff. So being there and being present, the videographer actually of this video was Pertha, for sure. And it was super fun. So this is another day where we had a spirit week, and they had a dress like one of the teachers' day. And these are all the people that dressed up like Mr. Reeves. This was Mr. Reeves' day. Definitely vulnerable. Definitely a position, a time to get to know each other. My students would ride the bus at the end of the day. And I never rode the bus with them. I said, no, I don't do that. But the second semester, I said, man, let me go. And I was on the bus, and I would ride with them. And I would hear about the homework that I gave that they didn't like. And I would hear about the stories of the school day. I'd hear about home and getting home, and I'd feel the bumps along the road. And I got to take pictures with my girl, Pertha. Another thing is, when I was a student missionary, it is actually a wonder how I survived that first half of the year, because I didn't really cook food. I think maybe it was just God who was sustaining me and manna from heaven, but I really didn't cook. And so an opportunity that happened that I was able to show vulnerability was, I was talking to one of the students, and he was saying, "Mr. Reeves, I know how to cook really well." And so I said, "Okay, Kayton, this is what we'll do. I will buy the supplies that you need, and we can cook together. You teach me how to cook some dishes, and we will eat together." And so Kayton would come sometimes, and we would cook together. He would teach me how to cut stuff and prepare the rice, the chicken, all that stuff, and we would share several meals together. It was during those meals that I learned about Kayton's family, that I learned about his dreams. That was the first time we really connected. Not when I was out there avoiding him in the classroom, but sitting in my apartment, being present together. Being weak and vulnerable, saying, "I don't know how to do this. Can you teach me?" And back to my friend, Michigo. So Michigo, the second half of the year, we had our moments, we had our arguments, we had our rough times. And I remember that there was a time where I was like, you know what, I'm going to go visit Michigo in her home. I'm going to go actually get to her house. And so she lived very close to the school, less than 5 minute walk from the school. And so one day I said, "Hey, Michigo, I'm going to come over." And she said, "Okay." And so the day came, school had ended, and I walk to her house. And when I get there, I see that she's there with her siblings, taking care of them, cooking for them. And we played a little basketball because Michigo really liked basketball. She loved to hoop. And then we came back inside and we started to talk. We sat down on that concrete floor and we started to talk. And when we started to talk, I learned things about Michigo. I learned the truth about Michigo that I hadn't known before. I learned things about, oh, maybe there's some reasons why she's angry. Maybe there's some things that I have done that haven't been the most conducive to her learning. And I started learning. And she started learning about me, and I remember she looked at my arm and my leg, and she was like, "Man, Mr. Reeves, your hair everywhere is so curly." And I said, "Yeah, it sure is." And then she asked me a crazy question. She said, "Mr. Reeves, if I cut you, what color will your blood be?" And I said, "Hey, yo, am I safe?" But I realized something. This whole time, I had been their teacher. I had been teaching them things. I had been presenting things to them. And they had some crazy ideas about what was underneath my skin. They had never seen somebody with my skin before. And I'd never been with them. But in that moment, Michigo learned, oh, you and I have the same blood, the same color, the same insides, both of us. But it wasn't until I was present with Michigo that I learned the truth about her. That she learned the truth about me. It wasn't till we were present with each other. And in being present, my truth was informed. Her truth about me was informed. Mr. Reeves wasn't a strange alien from outer space who didn't know how to speak. But he was Mr. Reeves, my teacher, my friend. And none of that would have happened unless I was open to being weak. And in the power of weakness, we saw the presence of truth. And finally, I got some notes like this by the end of my time. "Mr. Reeves, I think you're the best teacher in my class, and I think you're very kind to me." These are some notes that buoy you on the other days. But in Adventism, it makes me think this. In Adventism, if you've been around Adventism, you've maybe heard this word, present truth. Right? It's this idea that no matter what time period we are in, there is a truth that God has for us all, right? A simplified way of saying it, that there are eternal truths that manifest in different ways in different time periods. But I think in this experience, I learned something, that sometimes I present truth. But I think God has something deeper for us. He desires us to be present truth. And there's a difference between presenting truth and present truth. When I present truth, I can be distant from you. My power and my knowledge is my knowledge and my position is my power. I present it to you. I tell you what you need to know. I was teaching in the classroom. I was presenting things, valuable information, things that the student knows, but I don't need to be present with you to present truth. I can present it and leave. I can tell you and say, hey, you got to make a choice. I can present truth. But when I'm present truth, my presence informs my truth. The truth informs my presence. And it's a position of weakness, because to be present might mean I might learn something. To be present might mean I was wrong about what I thought about the other. To be present might mean I think about that thing that I thought of differently. And I think that this is not some crazy foreign concept, because I think God in Scripture has been about this idea. You see, in Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, Moses calls God the God of truth. And what does this God of truth want to do? He says, let them build me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. The God of truth wanted to be present truth. Then Jesus comes along, and Jesus in John 14, 6, when Thomas is talking to him, Jesus makes this grand statement that maybe many of us know. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what was one of Jesus' names in Matthew? Emmanuel, which means God with us. He wasn't satisfied with being God in the sanctuary, God around, God among, but he said, I got to be God with, present truth. And finally, Jesus, when he's talking about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, he calls him the Spirit of Truth. And what does he say about the Spirit of Truth in John chapter 14? He says, the Spirit of Truth, you know him because he is in you. And he will go on to continue saying that not only will be he in you, but we will make our home, we being God the Father, God the Son, we will make our home in them. So the Holy Spirit doesn't just want to be in us. He says, I got to bring the whole Godhead with me to not just be among them, to not just be with them, but to be in us. God is present truth. God himself in the Father, in the Son, and in the Holy Spirit is present truth. And Jesus can come down and be weak because, again, he knows that the power is not in the position. The power is not in the knowledge. The power isn't in what he could teach, but in his presence. Because when truth is present with us, then we really know it's truth. When truth can be present with us, like I was with my students, like I learned to be with my students, then we really know it's an eternal principle. Because maybe the Sabbath, a beautiful truth, has just become something I present. It's the seventh day. It will be a sign of the sealed. But how is the Sabbath present in a time where there's anxiety? How is the Sabbath present when I hustle and bustle? Jesus is coming again. That's an amazing thing to hear. But it's easy to present that truth. Jesus is coming, get ready. Jesus is coming, prepare. Jesus is coming, these people won't be there. But how does the coming of Jesus in my present speak to me? Is it merely a platitude, or is Jesus saying, I'm present truth? And maybe those others that we have in our life, because we all have an other, like I had my students, am I merely presenting? Am I willing to be present? Because to be present truth is to be open to weakness. But maybe that's the power of weakness, is that truth is present. That we can find present truth in being weak and not having all the answers. In sitting with a student and letting them ask the question of, what color is your blood? Maybe when I sit with that group of people, maybe when I have that conversation, my presence will inform the truth that I know to be real. A few years back, I got the opportunity while I was in Texas. I found out that some of my Kushrayan brothers and sisters were there in Texas. This is actually Michigo's family. Michigo was at school, but this was one of the kids on the right. I know you can't tell, but he was one of the kids that was flexing while I was a teacher. He was real skinny back then, but over there he's a lot taller than me, but I still beat him in basketball, so I still got that. But anyways, so he was there, and their parents, Michigo's parents on the island, and all three of these kids were like super little. And I remember we spent the whole day together. I drove out there. They made me some Kushrayan barbecue. For those who have been to Kushrayan, you already know what's up. Kushrayan barbecue. We had some bananas. We had some great stuff. And sitting around that table, I remember, man, these people changed my life. I came over there to teach something. I came over there to present something. But in being present, I learned the truth. In being present with them, I learned something about how God wants to be with us. I learned something about getting to know others. And I don't know if we have college students here, and I don't know if you've thought about being a student missionary, about what it would mean. Maybe you, like me at the beginning, you're thinking everything needs to line up, right? I need to go to a place where my strengths are maximized. I would never do you fill in the blank. I need to get this done and this done. But maybe where God needs to take you is not where your strengths are maximized, but where your weakness is emphasized, so that you too, like Paul, can say, his strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I boast more greatly in my infirmities. Maybe that's where we need to be. And if you're thinking about being a student missionary, if you're feeling the call of God in your heart, I just want to encourage you. You can talk to me afterwards. We'll be out here. But you're going to learn something about the presence of God. You're going to learn something about the power of weakness in the presence of truth. Because wherever you go, no matter if you're going somewhere where you are strong, where you're going somewhere where your strengths are emphasized, you're going to learn something, because that spirit of truth has a way of making sure that we stay humble, as a way of bringing out the very things we are trying to avoid. And there will be hard times. But it's in the weakness that we see the God of truth, Jesus who is truth, the Spirit of truth, and our presence informs our truth. And maybe you don't have the opportunity to go as a student missionary, and that's okay, because you have a place where you are, an other around you, a place where your weaknesses are emphasized. And maybe God is calling you to go to that place because he wants you to be and experience present truth. He wants you to experience something not in your strength that you can boast about, but about the power that is in Christ Jesus. When we are weak and he is strong. And finally, if you are feeling weak today, there is power in weakness. Because when we are weak, then he is strong. And the God of present truth is present even in your weakness. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day and the opportunity to share about who you are. I pray today that we experience the power of present truth. Thank you for your love. And thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.